are back, and normally Craig would be back here, but I asked if I could take the time this morning just to close out the series on discipleship. Craig wasn't here for the last couple of months, and so it seemed more appropriate for me to be able to kind of close out the series. The one thing I do want to say, and I've said it over and over again, is just because we're ending the series in discipleship doesn't mean that discipleship ends. Discipleship is something that we do for a lifelong, for the rest of our lives. You know, it never ends. We are always about discipleship. And one of the things I'm really happy to see is that so many people are involved in these gospel journey groups to just learn and grow together and just read the scriptures together. And I'm praying that that will be instrumental in our growth. As we looked back over the last 2 months, the two things that we focused on were, back up, go deep and share life. And the idea of going deep with God, going deep with one another. We talked at length about those ideas, about what it means to go deep with God. Knowing him is to love him, but to know him, we have to really look into the scriptures. Gary talked a little bit about how our experiences through suffering help us to understand God a little bit better as well. Going deep with one another, you know, building those relationships with one another. John talked about being vulnerable. Kenny talked about last week about unity and that we are one in Christ. The idea of sharing life, and that's getting out there and sharing our lives and working alongside people who don't know Jesus in order that we might be able to share that message of the gospel with them. That's what we've been focusing on for the last couple of months. And one of the things that I want to talk about to kind of close out our time, I'm going to tie in Thailand with this, I can't help but do that, of course, is when I got back from Thailand, and actually while I was there in Thailand, something that really stood out to me was I realized just by being there that seeing how the brothers and sisters in Christ there, how hard life was for them. And it left me with a great challenge. And I was challenged to ask myself, you know, what am I really living for? And I feel like, you know, Bob Kennel was out here, I don't know, was it last year, maybe the year before? And that's what his message was. What are you living for? And that just sort of stuck with me, and it sticks with me even now, is I let this idea of a life on mission, a life about building the kingdom of God, I've let that kind of slip away out of my life quietly, suddenly, without even realizing it. God has placed each of us here. He has saved us. He sustained our lives for the purpose of building his kingdom. We are to be building it every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. And I'm guilty of losing sight of that. And I'm telling you, you can't spend 2 weeks with the Kennels and not come away with that feeling. But it wasn't just them. It was the school staff. It was the workers who housed these youth in danger in the inner city. The staff at Zoe. They all shared the common belief that their lives were on mission. On mission to reveal Christ through compassion and restore those lives to God through the gospel. And if that's your challenge this morning, then I want you to hear what the writer of Hebrews has to say in chapter 12 about pursuing a life of faith, a life of faith that's on mission. How do we develop a life of mission? Now, I'm going to read chapter 12, just the first three verses. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." He begins by talking about this great cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about in chapter 11, all these faithful followers of God who had gone before us. And he paints this picture of them looking down at us and cheering us on and saying, "You can do it," as we run this race. The writer likens our Christian life as a race. And the Christian life is a race, isn't it? It's a race against time. It's a race against the enemy. A race for lives. And the first thing that he tells us is this. He says, throw off everything that hinders. And he's not talking just about sin. He's talking about anything and everything that slows us down. Now, if you look in the Greek, there are two things going on here. First, the Greek literally says, having thrown off everything that hinders, which means that we can't do anything to help our spiritual growth and our faith until we throw off some of the things that slow us down. And the second thing in the Greek is it literally says to lay aside every weight. And if you've ever tried running or climbing up a hill with a lot of extra weight, you know how much harder it can be. If you've ever tried driving a car that was fully loaded up a grade, you know how much harder and how much longer it takes to get up that hill. In the Christian life, we carry weights that slow us down, weights that prevent us from growing in faith, weights that close our eyes to the people right next to us who don't know Jesus, weights that distract us and send us running off course. And something I noticed about the School of Promise was that their lives were very simple. They didn't have all the luxuries that we have in Seattle. We visited, you know, homes in one village where there's just a tile floor with mattresses on it. There's a bathroom off to the side. They're cooking on a propane burner out in the what we would call a carport outside. Now, granted, despite these conditions, they have their weights too. It's not like they don't have their weights. But I witnessed in a staff is that the simple things of life, their simple lives with few luxuries, was not something to be ashamed of. If anything, it freed them to live on mission. There were far fewer things to compete for their affections and their attention. I think sometimes the pursuit of the good life often fills our lives with things that actually lead us away from the kingdom life, the kingdom life that God wants us to live. And gradually we drift away from the kingdom pursuits, and before we know it, we've lost sight of God's purposes for our lives. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about these lives in Thailand. The Thai teachers, even in their simple lives, there are things that could slow them down, and yet they don't entangle themselves in them. You realize that the people of Thailand spend more time on the internet than any other country in the world. There are more subscribers to Facebook in the city of Bangkok than any other city in the world. And yet, these teachers have not succumbed to these temptations. Why is that? And I think it's because they live a very intentional life. They make decisions with the intention of moving people toward Christ. Anna is one of the administrators at the school. And on some meetings during the week, she ministers to girls who have been rescued off the streets. And they're essentially in hiding in what could only be, looks like a converted apartment of some sort. And not only for these girls, she watches out for the students too. She was telling the story, or someone was telling the story about her going into a video arcade and telling the workers not to let one of her students in because he's stealing money to play. And you don't want to mess with Anna if you met her. She's a great heart, but she just don't want to mess with her. For some other students, she's going to be watching them for a few months just to provide protection for them. And mind you, these are not in her job description. But it's her desire to live life on mission. I asked her how much sleep she gets a night. She responded, 2 to 3 hours. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all limit our sleep to 2 to 3 hours a night. We would be really grumpy people, but what I see in Anna is a woman who is intentional with the use of her time. She makes decisions with the intention of moving people closer to Christ. She doesn't entangle herself with stuff or with the pursuit of the good life. She's about the work of the kingdom. Now, something happens when we have an intentional mindset. Everything we do begins to take on an eternal significance. Every incident, every relationship begins to find some eternal value. Before we arrived in Thailand, Bob and Nobi met with the hotel management and got us a great price on the hotel. And in the process of working with the staff there, it was clear that they just loved Bob and Nobi. There's something about them, and they just really set the tone for us as a team when we came in. And as our time with the hotel and the staff progressed, there was clearly something really special taking place there. Our relationship with the hotel staff grew. And on a few mornings, the staff, you know, went out of their way to set up a special, beautiful buffet of breakfast outside because the inside of the cafe was going to be crowded. And they picked these fresh flowers, and they set up a special buffet with just our foods. They would watch what we would eat. And they chose the food that we ate, and they set up this buffet for us. And it was beautiful. It was like being at a wedding, you know, white tablecloths, flowers. The relationship was so special that as the first group was heading back after the first week, our team bought the cafe staff a parting gift, and we sang the doxology to them as a group. We got around, and I think I might even have a picture of that. Yeah, and for the first time, according to one of the workers there, some of the staff started crying. Because they never had guests that were so appreciative of them. Grace, you talked about one word being love. That's what they saw. That's what we felt. A love for them. It wasn't made up. It was genuine. Miley loved the cereal so much there that the staff went out of their way and bought her 2 boxes of cereal to take home with her because you can't get it here in the States. They even went out and they bought bags and bags of coffee beans for us because we just loved their coffee and it was really good. So here's the thing. Bob has asked us now to pray for the hotel staff because he's going to ask them if they would like to study the Bible together. That is a life with intention. An intentional mindset. It has a way of opening our eyes to the eternal significance of everything in our lives. So that's our challenge. If we want to grow in the life of faith, our challenge is to be intentional. Be intentional. Ask yourself, what are you doing intentionally to grow deep with God and deep with others? What are you doing to do intentionally share life with those far from God? How are you responding to the opportunities God has placed right before you? And perhaps the most difficult question is this: what are the weights in your life that are slowing you down and stunting your growth and preventing you from experiencing a life on mission? Take a hard look, honestly. Consider how you might throw off that weight so you can move around freely as God intended. The second thing we see in this passage is the command to run the race. Run the race. And I want to focus on that word run. Our lives are a race that is to be run. And with this idea of running, there is this sense of urgency. There is, after all, a real sense of urgency from an eternal perspective. The truth is, everyone's life is in danger without Christ. That truth is in the face of those we met in Thailand every day. The suffering that kids and adults alike are faced with daily is a constant reminder of the urgent need, not just for physical help, but for spiritual help. Because while there is good that comes from helping someone out of their physical needs, the staff at SOP understands that it is impossible to truly heal people without Christ. The daily faces of the kids is a constant reminder of the urgency of Christ. Bob was sharing with me that he was speaking at an Ethnos 360 conference that week that we were there. And the conference is held for missionaries for the organization that he's part of. And people from all over the world come to this conference, this week-long conference, and he was going to speak at one of the sessions. So he was sharing with me that there were these missionaries that he had met in Thailand that were just taking their time with language acquisition, spending very little time with the people that they were actually going to minister to, making decisions that reflected a casual, almost perhaps a careless attitude. And Bob said that this was their last conference with Ethnos 360 before they retired. So he was going to not hold anything back when he shared this message. And in a nutshell, this is what he shared. He shared that there is no time to dilly-dally around and that people were dying without Christ and that these people were going to hell and we can't just take our casual time. Can't take our casual time thinking that someone else is going to share the gospel. There's work to be done, and as Christians, we have been called to share the gospel. Lives are at stake, and judgment is coming. And afterwards, I asked Bob, how'd it go? And he said, I think they got the message. That's a message for us, too. We need to have that same sense of urgency. People all around us are going to face judgment without Christ. And our message, our mission in this world is to deliver the gospel message. It's hard, though. It's hard because we don't have a sense of urgency because it's difficult for us to connect the things that we do here, our work, our school, whatever we do. It's hard to connect those with a need for Christ. It's in their faces over there every day, so it's a little bit easier for them. But for us, it's difficult to connect those dots. And I really don't have an answer for that. But somehow, we have to remember that despite all the other urgencies at home and at work and at school, the greatest urgency is people's need for Christ. So that's our challenge. First is to be intentional with our lives. Second is to live with a sense of urgency. So the writer of Hebrews says to run the race, and he says to run the race set before us with perseverance or endurance. And again, I want to say that when I look at the situation with these kids and the families in Thailand and the teachers having to work with these through these situations every day and seeing how the teachers have to live sometimes away from their home families, and I wonder how in the world they're able to persevere through all this trauma every day. The writer of Hebrews gives us the answer when he says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And the Greek here is literally looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. As we are running the race, we are to be looking to Jesus. And that's the third thing we need to do to pursue a life of mission. Look unto Jesus. Look unto him. The Christian life, it's not promised to be an easy one. In fact, the Bible practically guarantees that it's going to be a hard one. But how do we get through those hardships that accompany every Christian life? Is it through chanting? Is it through running away and burying our heads? No. No, the Bible says that the way we get through the hardships of life is looking unto Jesus, relying on him, trusting him, knowing that he can relate to our suffering, knowing that he sits at the right hand of God with the power and the purpose to work through our sufferings, knowing that we are the reason he suffered so terribly. And that's our third challenge when it comes to forging ahead with a life on mission. We need to depend on Jesus. Depend on Jesus. One thing is certain, the more we serve Jesus, the more we need Jesus. Stacy's, you know, she shared earlier, so many of these ministries that we've witnessed have taken on what is impossible without God. They have chosen to step out in faith and have learned to constantly look unto Jesus for answers. Their God-sized visions force them to. Over the years, one of the English teachers at the School of Promise and her husband have been caring for children pulled out of difficult circumstances and situations. And today, they have 11 children living in their home. And I asked her, how is she doing? Because she just looked really wary. And she said, well, I didn't cry yesterday or today, so I guess it's going okay. And I asked myself, how does she get through day after day, week after week, year after year, without totally falling apart? And I've concluded that it's in large part because she understands her greater purpose in all of this. And that greater purpose forces her to depend on Jesus. The more she serves Jesus, the more she needs Jesus. I do not know any other way that these teachers are able to keep going, except that they understand that they are serving Jesus, who suffered for them far more than they are suffering. And if he suffered that much for them, he'll come through in their God-sized ministries. These people have learned what it means to truly depend on Jesus in the wake of suffering and incredible adversity. They have learned that a life on mission is a life that has chosen to bite off more than it can chew. And in the process, they have seen God work in ways that keep them going with joy. You know, I look at those lives, and I want that kind of life. Dave, you talked about being, taking a few months to recover. I never want to recover. Nothing against what you said. It's going to take a lot of reprioritizing, a lot of prayer, a lot of trust. It means casting off the things that hinder me and living with the intention of drawing others to Christ and doing so with a sense of urgency and choosing to depend on Jesus through the journey. The teachers and the staff at the School of Promise are examples of lives on mission. They are fully committed to making Jesus a reality in the lives of these children. Don't you want that to be your story too? I mean, really, is there anything in life more worthy to live for? Really? I want to close with a story that some of you may have heard when Joel, who was the founder of the school, when he was here a few years ago, and he talked about how the school kind of started. And he shared this story back then, and I'm going to share it again. When they first started the school, they had an organization that was helping cover the cost, the bulk of the cost of the school. And the school got going. And along the way, I don't know how far along they were first year, second year, I don't know. But the organization had to pull out. Something happened, and they could not support the school anymore, and that meant that they had no funds, hardly any funds, to cover the cost to run the school. So he brought the staff together to share the story. He said that, "Okay, staff, you know, this is the situation. It's like you are in our SUV, all of you, and we are driving toward a cliff." And Joel, he's saying, me and Marvel, his wife, we're going to stay in the car. But if you want to get out, you have our blessing, because we didn't ask you to come along on this ride with us like this. And Daw, who is the principal of the school, she says, "Joel, I saw this coming. And we've all talked about this. And we're here to serve the Lord. We're trusting God to take care of us, not you. And I want to challenge you this morning to have that kind of faith and live on mission. Live with intentionality. Live with a sense of urgency. Live for something bigger than you can handle on your own. The Christian life is a race. And we don't run it alone. Discipleship means bringing someone along with us. But we can't disciple someone if we aren't growing as disciples ourselves. So our prayers as leaders of Faith Bible Church is that discipleship would become a hallmark of Faith Bible Church. Consider what we've shared over the last few months. Think about how you might become a better disciple and a better discipler. Because that's what we're called for, a life on mission. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus, who enables us to go through life in a way that just reveals your glory, reveals your great love for us. And Lord, we admit and we confess that we get our lives entangled in things that we ought not to. And we would ask, Lord, that you would give us the courage and the understanding of what those weights are in our lives and help us just drop them and to live on mission. Help us, Lord, to be intentional with our lives, to make the most of every opportunity and everything that you place in our lives. Father, we thank you. We thank you, and we'd ask that you would help us, Lord, to understand and learn what it means to depend on you. And as we do so, strengthen our faith and help us to live with joy in the process. We thank you in Jesus' name.